Thank you, ladies. Thankful that he leads us every day, amen? Never leaves us alone. And the only time we wander astray or get into trouble is when we wander astray, when we wander away from him and start to follow our own ideas and our own will, and then we're in trouble. But he is faithful. He'll chasten us. He'll come after us. We know. He loves us. 2 Peter chapter 3, please, if you would. We're going to begin there, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 18. Trust you had a great week. Weeks are flying by. It's hard to believe. I used to hear it as a kid, as we all did. Time goes by fast when you get older. You know, when you're a kid, you're just like, everything takes forever. Going to school, that takes forever. Man, that took so long for me. I'm still waiting to get through it. I was traumatized, I think. But anyway, it's hard to wait for things when you're young, but when you get older, it's true. Things do go a lot faster. And the older you get, you don't count the days anymore. You start counting the seasons. Somebody said that to me recently, and that was true. It's like, we'll do it in the spring and the fall. And next thing you know, it's here. And summer's coming, and I hope everything slows down once we hit those warm days. But one of the things that we do as we experience life as Christians, no matter how quickly time goes by, we grow or we don't. Those are only two choices. Yeah, you don't grow by default necessarily, at least not in faith as a Christian. You got to put effort into that. We grow physically in other ways, whether we want to or not, sometimes in the wrong directions. But when it comes to our faith, we've got to put effort into growth. But we do grow. And we can look back over the seasons of our lives and we can recognize, wow, time has gone by quickly. Have I redeemed the time wisely? Have I learned from the lessons? Have I learned from the mistakes? Am I growing in my faith? And it's good to do that. It's good to reminisce from time to time, because what we don't want as Christians is we don't want to become stagnant in our faith. And I can't speak for those older than me, but I will suggest that it could happen that those who are in their senior years, who put in 70, 80 years, 90 years, have sort of hung up their service gloves and said, I've done enough. I'm going to go ahead and bow out. But I would suggest, we need you. Don't leave. We need you more than ever. And that's what I see, by the way, is that wonderful wisdom and grace and patience that comes with age and experience. And so we value that. And the reason why we value it is because we know it takes a lot to learn some of these lessons, and folks have learned these lessons. They've lived a long time, and so we value that, and they grow in wisdom, and they grow in understanding and the knowledge of the Lord God, and it's so good that we can see that because it gives us encouragement. Keep going. Don't give up. If the ones ahead of me aren't giving up, then I can't either, and I don't want the ones behind me to give up, so I'm not going to give up, and it helps. Peter grew in his faith. We see it in the Scriptures, don't we? We see it. We see his hot-temperedness. We see his ability to put his feet in his mouth quite a bit, and I have that skill. It's pretty good when you can do that. That's not good at all. But we know Peter grew, and Christ saw something in Peter. He referred to him as rock, and Peter eventually stabilized and balanced out, and we see that he grew in his life. He grew in his faith. He went from a fellow who denied Christ, even after Christ told him he would. He's like, no, I'd never do that, and he denied Christ, to a fellow that literally and willingly laid his life down for his Savior. And so there was growth in his life, and as Christians, we want to grow, and the point is, don't become stagnant. I can remember once we were not too far away in Salisbury. I don't know what camp it was called now. It was something Emmanuel Baptist was putting on, Camp Emmanuel or Camp Elam or something. And I was there, and I was enjoying camp. Camp was a big part of my life. And my cousins, I think, were there at that time as well, and Aunt Teddy. And I can remember how wonderful it was to be at camp. And I can remember all of the fellowship and the camaraderie and the preaching and feeling involved in this different environment. And encouraged to love Christ, and encouraged to talk about Christ, encouraged to be bold when it comes to the gospel. And I can remember the counselor that I had at the time, who, as far as I know, to this day, has wandered from the Lord. But that counselor at this season in his life was faithful. And I looked to him for some counseling. And I told him, I feel like I'm in neutral. I feel like I'm not going anywhere. Like I stalled in my walk with the Lord. And he counseled me. He told me, showed me some verses in the Bible, and he encouraged me to keep growing. He said, you never stop growing. And I took that to heart. And there have been seasons when my growth has been stunted by my own actions, but if we allow the Lord to water us, he will grow us. And we see growth in the lives of these in the book of Acts. We see growth in the life of even Paul, of course, as he becomes born again and then as he begins to serve and grow. And we see it through the missionaries that we've been reading about. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I want to start, before I pray, in 2 Peter, just for a minute, chapter 3. There's one verse, the very last verse of this epistle here of Peter. This morning in Sunday school, I had a hard time finding 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I didn't know which was which. Hopefully I have better chance this time. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 18. Again, the very last verse. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. But at the end of this epistle, Peter writes, Peter, who grew, Peter, who we can literally see within the Gospels, there was change in his life, he grew, is advising the church, is advising believers, followers of Christ, advising us to do the same. And he tells us here, grow in grace. Grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace of God in your own life and in the grace of God, literally. Allow him to grow you by his grace. He's patient, he's merciful, he is gracious, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to grow in the knowledge of who he is to us, of what he accomplished on the cross for us, of how wonderful salvation really is. And so we grow in that knowledge, and we appreciate it more and more every day. And so the reason why I went here is because I see some of that growth, even in Acts, and I wanted to point it out a little bit. A fellow by the name of Apollos is going to demonstrate some growth. Let me pray quickly. Father, thank you for your word for our few minutes now that we have this morning to look at it. And God, we just ask that you would enlighten every one of us here this morning. Don't allow a single person within the sound of my voice, Lord, to miss what you want to say, to miss, Father, what your word says to us. God, we just pray that you would encourage us, that you would lead us and reveal to us the truth that's in these words. God, that we would be changed, that we would even today grow a little bit. And be encouraged, Father, to keep on growing and keep on going. We pray it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we do ask that you'd be with the children downstairs as they are taught as well, that they too would grow. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Verse 23 here of Acts chapter 18. Paul has ended his second missionary journey. That was last week, by the way. It kind of ended abruptly, just the way it works in the text. And then he started his third missionary journey in the same chapter. So Paul's a busy guy. He gets home to Antioch, you know, and he goes to Jerusalem. He finishes his vows, and he keeps the feast, and, you know, he catches up with everybody, I'm sure, and tells everybody how things went on the second missionary journey. And then he's gone again. Poof. We don't know how long he was there. It says in verse 23, and after he had spent some time there, he departed. You know, Paul is a busy guy. And I'm sure in his mind, like in the mind of George Mueller, who once said, I live much of my life for the devil, 100% as best I could, and I better give God no less. So Paul is doing exactly that. He's a busy guy because the Lord is leading him. And it says here again in verse 23, and after he had spent some time there, he departed. After he had spent some time there, he probably got comfortable. He probably got refamiliarized with the routine that he had had with his friends and family. He probably had a few nice sleeps that he hadn't had in a while, a few good meals, a few opportunities to do some things he enjoyed, to have some rest and some pleasure and take some time for himself. And he didn't get so complacent in that comfort that he just decided to keep doing that. He allowed himself some time home, but then the call to continue to minister and to serve and to answer that call was loud enough. And he heard it and he answered it. So we see Paul continuing on. I love that. Here he's home, but after he spent some time taking a break, reconnecting, he's like, all right, I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm an ambassador. And I got some light to share. I got some salt to share. I got some seed to sow. I got to go. I want to see how they're doing. And away he goes on what is the third missionary journey, just like that. And I love it because, you know, a lot of us are on our, you know, 120th missionary journey or whatever number you want to ascribe. Every day when you leave your house, just add it to the list. That's how it works. We get to head out on our own missionary journey every day. And then the next day, decide to do it again. And the bed is warm and the remote is handy and the food's in the fridge. But we know we want to redeem the time. We want to grow and we need to go to grow. And so like Paul and like these missionaries, we keep on keeping on. And this is what Paul did, and this is what I'm referring to. It's so easy to sort of get complacent. I would hate to think that I have grown as much as I am going to grow in my life. Either because of my own unwillingness or my own disobedience, my growth stops. That'd be sad. Or just because God had nothing more for me to learn. Now, does God have more for us to learn? Yes, we know that's true forever. So we know there's more growth, more learning, more understanding, more wisdom to come. So it boils down to, am I interested in growing? Am I hungry for more? And so I guess as I jotted down some of these things, I thought about that phrase, are you hungry? Because Paul seems to be hungry. He's not content. He's not satisfied. It's not been enough for him yet. No, I think I'll go another time. I said, Paul, you were there twice. You've gone through these places a couple of times now. I think God knows you. You know, you've put some effort in. No, it's not enough for me. I feel the call. The Lord is leading. I'm going to go again. He's not content. He's not stalled in neutral like I have been. He puts her in first gear, hits the gas, and away he goes once again. And I love that enthusiasm and that zeal. Let me just share a couple of thoughts. My prayer for everybody, let alone believers, but everybody in general, is number one, they have a speckless heart. Speckless, that's a word we don't hear a lot these days, but it means spotless, without speck, without spot, without stain. How do you get a speckless heart? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. There's only one stain remover that can wash the sin from our hearts, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ when he shed it on the cross. That's the only stain remover that can ever remove our sins from the eyesight, from the knowledge of God. And if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, friends, your sins are forgiven. You are saved and safe. Your sins have been washed away through faith in Jesus by his sacrifice. We can be born again and saved. So that gives you a speckless heart before God. Now he can use you. But not only do we want a speckless heart, we also want to have a reckless faith. Does he need that? Like Paul and Peter and the other apostles and missionaries, it's like, oh, they're thrown in jail. They're getting beat up. It's like, hey, maybe you should stop. Nah, I'm just gonna trust the Lord. Okay, seems kind of reckless to me. I don't know if anybody ever said that, but I know I've heard that from people. You're going to give money to the church? You're going to go? You're going to spend that many days going? You're going to trust the Bible, this old book? Really, that's kind of reckless. Yeah, it kind of is. I love it. Liberating. I'm not trusting in myself, by the way. I'm trusting in God, or trying to, learning to, growing in my faith. And so we have a speckless heart by the blood of Christ, but then we can also have this reckless faith through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as he grows us. We just learn to throw caution into the wind. No, not really. We learn to trust the Lord, no matter what happens, good or bad. And then finally, a restless spirit. Isn't that great, Christian? We would have a speckless heart by the salvation God offers, a reckless faith as we grow and as we go, and then a restless spirit, so that we are zealously and fervently every day, God, what do you got for me today? What mission, O King, can I do for you today? How are you going to use me and send me? What miracles will I witness? What stories will I be able to tell? How can I bring glory to your name? Give me a purpose today. And every day we can wake up with a restless spirit to do the greatest thing any human could ever do, serve Jesus Christ. And so these guys have this ambition that motivates them to keep going and keep growing. What else? What else is there? I love one of the things that, as I've been chatting with Dakota and Carly a couple of weeks ago there, we were together and chatting a little bit, and they were talking about this appetite. I don't know if it was Dakota or Carly, one of them said, I'm so hungry. I just want more of the word. I can't get enough of it. I'm like, oh, I love hearing that. I love hearing that. And I love it when I have that appetite. And we can have this restless spirit, and we fuel up on the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, but we don't get fat on it. Let it sit there. We exercise it. We energize it. We use it. We go out and we serve. We get this restlessness inside of us as Christians to share our faith, to be obedient, to love the Lord, to exalt His name. And I love it. There's nothing better than living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that true, Christian? Amen. There's nothing better. It's the greatest thing that we can ever be a part of. Let me read just quickly what I wrote. They were not content. They were not satisfied unless they were going and growing. Are you content sitting in neutral? You know, if you're a Christian, the Spirit's going to stir you up about that. If you're a Christian, you're not going to be content. You might be able to sort of put it off and see your conscience and ignore it for a little while, but eventually if you ignore that lack of contentment, it ends up in a very miserable place. You know, the Lord wants us to serve Him because it's good for us. And so these guys, they were going and they were growing, and the more they went, the more that they grew. They had this restless spirit, this reckless faith, because they had this speckless heart. The blood of Christ had washed them. The Spirit of God indwelt them, and away they go once again. Third missionary journey. He departs. He's on the road again. Just before we move to the next verse, let me share this little quote. And let's do this. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Maybe we won't go much further today, but Philippians chapter 3 is a great passage. And it really lends so much more to what we're talking about. Philippians chapter 3. Here's the quote. You cannot follow Christ and remain in the same place in your life. It's impossible. It's impossible. You might know Christ, but if you were following Christ, you will be able to look back on your life today and say, I am not the same place that I was a year ago, a month ago, 10 years ago. There will be growth. I'm not saying that you will be more perfect. That will not happen. But you will see adjustments in your life. You will see combats. You will see growth in your life. You will be able to look back on some things and say, well, I was able to put that away by God's grace and God's power. Thank you, Lord. I now know and understand these truths better than I did way back then. And you'll see growth. And it's so important that we're going and that we're growing, and you can't follow Jesus and remain in the same place. It was the whole reason why Jesus Christ continued to journey and wander, because He was teaching and instructing and leading and inviting others to do the same thing. I forget how many times, like over 50 times, the word follow is used, referencing following Christ or go after Christ. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Christ doesn't say sit with me and stay with me and don't ever move again. He's let's go. Come on, follow me. And He wants us to keep going and keep growing. How far, Lord? Into eternity. Doesn't that sound great? It's never going to end. It's just going to get better and better and better. You think this is good? You just wait to see what's coming. And so we follow Christ with this enthusiasm, but we can't follow Christ and remain in the same place. You get left in the dark. You get left behind. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. I'm thankful the Lord looks after that lost sheep. He doesn't leave us behind. Starting in verse 8, here's what it says. Finally, brethren, yeah, well, that's why I'm stalling here, because I'm trying to find out where I am. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you mentioning that. There it is. Yea, doubtless. I was looking real hard for that one word, doubtless. Why is it not here? Yea, doubtless. Now, these are the words of Paul. Look what he says. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, everything that I have done for myself, everything I have done apart from Christ is a waste. It's just a waste. And that is so true. Anything that I do in my life for me is good for me, but it isn't good for Christ, and it doesn't last. It's the wood, hay, and stubble that the Bible talks about. But here's what it says. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Here's an individual that's learning to leave the past behind and keep marching forward into the future. He says in verse 8 at the end of that verse, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. All of the material things, all of the notoriety and the fame and whatever Paul had gleaned in his former life before he trusted Christ as a Pharisee, well taught, well educated, and well respected, he said, oh, it was all a waste. It's just dung compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He says, I want Christ. That's my prize. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. You see what Paul said there? He said, it's not enough. I want to know him more. I want to know him better. The one who died for me? Are you kidding? The one who saved me from what I deserve, from hell, literally, that I know I deserve. Paul knew that. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. And Christ, he paid for that price that I owed. He, by his own blood, saved me. And it's not enough for me to just stall and be in neutral. He says, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. He says, I want to fellowship in his sufferings. I want to be able to relate to my Savior who suffered for me. I want to be able to say, Lord, I suffered for you. You deserve it. Even unto death. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I'm not there yet, he says. I haven't figured it all out. I haven't learned everything yet. I haven't attained that, but I follow after. I want to. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on learning. You know, there's this idea of Paul running. He's just running. He's like, don't give up. Don't give up. The moment, you know what happens when you're jogging? Because I've done it once or twice. And you start getting tired, don't ever, if you get tired and you're not home yet and you say, I think I'll just take a little rest, then I'll keep going, don't take the rest. Because it's a lot harder to keep going. Everybody ever notice that? Once you stop and take that rest, you just want to stay there. But if you keep going until you get to the end, it's like, oh, it feels pretty good. Good job. You did it. You got home. Okay. Paul is like that. I don't want to stop. I want to keep on going. And again, why? Because he wants to win Christ. He wants to know Christ. He wants to know the power. He wants to fellowship in the suffering. He wants to relate. This is a relationship. And it isn't a one-way relationship for Paul. Because I want to be in part, I want to put some effort into this. The end of verse 12, he says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know what he's saying is that I haven't learned everything yet. I still got some things I got to learn. There's still some things God needs to show me. I haven't apprehended yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. And every day those missionaries and every day those early church fathers and every day we get up and we press toward the mark. We run from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or however long you stay up before you go to bed. We run the whole day, another leg of the race. And what are we doing? We're not in a rat race, right, Christian? We saved out of that rat race. Now what we do counts. Isn't that wonderful? What you do, no matter what it is, tomorrow you get up and you go sweep the floor for somebody. You do it for the glory of the Lord, that counts for you. That's what I love that. And so we can run every day. We get out of bed and we keep running, and Paul is doing exactly that. He says, I press toward the mark. And again, there's that word for the prize. It's not found here in this world or in worldly things. It's not found in fleshly, physical things. The prize is Jesus Christ. Keep running. Keep searching. Keep learning. Keep growing. Go and grow. Go and grow. And that's what these guys are demonstrating to us. The early church had this attitude. If I'm stagnant, if I am neutral, then something is wrong. I want to continue to learn. I want to continue to understand. I want to continue to grow. And so as Peter said, and as Paul said, we say as well, so do we. And just quickly, I want to share from verse 23, the very rest of it here, and then we'll close. It says, and went over all the country of Galatia. This is Paul. He's heading back now to where he was before. He's revisiting these same communities and these same churches, Galatia and Phrygia and order, strengthening all the disciples. I mentioned Cuba earlier, and so thankful for this church's graciousness and kindness. Do you know that to you and I, it's just picking up something when you're at Costco and then throwing it at the box or in the box when you get to the church. It's not a lot. It's just what we do. It's a lot in one sense. But for us, you know, the effort of it, it's not a big deal. We wouldn't think highly of it. But imagine being on the receiving end of it. Imagine showing up at a church where there's maybe 5, 12, 20 boxes. And they've been gone through the boxes and they've distributed medicines and toothbrushes and toothpaste and washing materials and all of those things that you folks have been bringing in, and vitamins and Tylenol and Advil. They can't find it anywhere else. And then you leave with a parcel, you leave with a gift. Are you going to be encouraged? Yeah. Are you going to be strengthened? Your faith? Yeah. Are you going to have some joy in your heart? Absolutely. Are you going to have enough zeal, enough fervor, enough oomph to maybe get up and do it another day, even though you live in a place called Cuba or a place called Haiti? Yeah. And that's a direct result of your willingness not to stay in neutral. And it doesn't take a lot to be faithful. It just takes the willingness to follow the Lord. And so here Paul is going. These missionaries are going again. He goes to Galatia, Perga. And what's the reason? To strengthen the disciples. Because Paul knows it's going to be hard. These young churches struggling in a wicked, difficult world, they need what? Encouragement. They need to grow in their faith. They need to be strengthened. And so this is why he does what he does. And this is why we do what we do. And that's how you strengthen others around us. Verse 24, we get to a fellow named Apollos. We might have time to get through this. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." It's kind of interesting. This guy named Apollos, he's a Jew, he's from Alexandria, and he is being super faithful in the Word of God and in his life. He doesn't yet have the full understanding of what Christ accomplished. He's only got some of the wisdom, some of the understanding, but he is so fervent and so zealous with what he has. Of course, God is faithful to continue to fill in the blanks. This guy, Apollos, I jotted down that despite limited understanding, had a zeal to go and to grow. He didn't have all the answers. Sometimes as Christians, we say, well, I can't really talk to others about the Lord because I don't know everything yet. Well, you never will. We know that. Tell them what you do know. Make sure you know what you know and tell them what you do know. If you're saved, you know enough to get somebody else saved. Share the gospel. Sometimes that's all it takes. What does it mean to be a Christian? Let me share with you. I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. He died for me on the cross to save me from my sin. He rose again and he said, if I trust in him, I confess to him that he is Lord of my life and I ask him to forgive me and save me, he will. And his Spirit will dwell within me and I'm saved. And the Bible says he'll never leave me nor forsake me after that. And he'll grow me and he'll send me. And so this is Apollos. He doesn't have all the information. He's limited in his understanding, but that doesn't keep him from being zealous for the Lord God. And so he's working hard. And as he goes and as he grows, he continues to grow. And he continues to go. Verse 26 says that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard them, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. See how the Lord will help us? You know, there's been a lot of things I didn't understand properly, and God's like, yep, you got that wrong. I'm going to go ahead and bring this fellow into your life, and he's going to correct you on that. I love that. People have taught me so much from the Word of God. I still do it today. Listen, we need to get together. I'd like to chat with you and have a discussion. I just want to understand this a little bit better. I'm a little bit off, or I don't quite get what the Bible is teaching about this. And I love that, and people will call me, and I love answering questions, and it's part of the growing and going. Apollos is fervent, he's zealous, but he doesn't have all the information that's necessary to share the gospel in its completion and its fullness. And so God makes sure that Aquila and Priscilla, who joined the previous missionary journey, are now a part of this ministry so that they can minister to him. And the body of Christ comes together and they begin to instruct him. And they help him to understand the things that he didn't about the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Jot it down again that he spoke boldly. Let your brilliance catch up to your boldness. Thought about Apollos. You know, he's got this boldness, he's got this fervor, he's got this zeal, and that is great and that is wonderful and it's necessary because we don't want to be in neutral. But at the same time, we have to recognize that we don't know it all. So there's the going and then there's the growing. And if we're seeking the Lord and we're trusting the Lord and the Lord is guiding us, those two things will often balance out in time. Because there was times in my life when I was a little faster than my knowledge could keep up with, right? And you learn as you go that you've got to keep learning and keep growing. And so sometimes our brilliance needs to catch up with our boldness. And we gain wisdom as we go and as we grow. In other words, If we don't serve, we won't learn and we won't grow. It's the service that teaches us. It's the mistakes that we make. It's the questions that we ask when we're trying to do the Lord's will that we eventually find the answers to that keep growing us and growing us. But if I just sit and don't do anything, you know, James says, don't be hearers of the word only. I'm so thankful for a busy church because it would be sad to have all of this truth and never see it in action. I see it in action. And I'll tell you, it motivates me. Amen. It motivates us and it keeps us going. It's like, yeah, this is God is at work. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? And it doesn't look like the way I think it should look like. It looks like the way God wants it to look like. And it's encouraging. And here Aquila and Priscilla, they're like, wow, this guy Apollos, he's so bold. He studies the scriptures. He knows what he knows so well. He's fervent, it says. He taught diligently, it says. He was mighty in the scriptures, it says. But we need to fill him in on a few things. And they do. You know, Apollos isn't offended. He knows the word now more perfectly. Verse 27, and because of that it says, and when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, or he desired, disposed, he had a desire to go to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Hey, we've got a fellow here that wants to go and minister to you guys and teach you guys and speak to you guys about some things. You see, Apollos was going and he was growing, and because he's growing, guess what he wants to do now? He wants to keep going. He's like, I got to tell this to some friends of mine in Achaia. I get, you know, write them a letter telling them I'm coming. And yep, we did. They're waiting for you to get there. And away he goes. It says here in the end of verse 27, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. He helped them. Apollos, don't know much about him, but he's mentioned in the holy word of God for all of eternity. He's just faithful, fervent, zealous. He wasn't just sitting around twiddling his thumbs. He knew, I got to keep going. This is good news. I want everyone to know it. What's more important than being saved from hell? Knowing Christ, being reconciled unto God who created us. And so I'm going to get the message out. I'm not going to let anything distract me. I'm going to go. And as he did, he grew. And as he grew, he continued to go. Service creates an appetite that God will satisfy. Service will create, and ever do a full day's work, come home, what happens? You're what? You're hungry. Worked hard all day. I need a meal. I know a guy, he'd get up in the morning. I don't know how hard it was for him to sleep, but he was as hungry as a bear. First thing he did was big full breakfast before he even woke up. He was hungry. Are you hungry? Apollos was hungry. Paul was hungry. It wasn't enough. He wasn't content. He wasn't satisfied. I want to do more for the Lord. He has saved me. He died for me. I'm a child of God. I am promised an eternal life in heaven. What else can I do to honor the one who gave me all these things? He was hungry. Apollos was hungry. It says, finally, as we close, not only will God satisfy us, you know, Jesus Christ said in chapter 5 of Matthew, he said, all those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I'll fill you up. I'll satisfy you. And then verse 28 says, for he mightily convicted the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Same message Paul had. A little earlier in the same chapter, in fact, it says in verse 5, the very last verse, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He's the hope. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And I love the fact that it says publicly. Publicly. Sometimes, as a Christian, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he died for me. And he died for me publicly, willingly, and without apology. Right? That's how he died for us all. Publicly, willingly, and without apology. And so as Christians, we have that same privilege that we can live for Christ as he died for us. Publicly, willingly, and without apology. And as we do, as we go, we will grow. And in turn, as we grow, we'll want to keep on going. That fervor and that zeal, it just keeps recycling. And that's what Paul was involved with. That's what the church is involved with. That's what we're involved with. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to try to snuff out. But we got to keep on going. Father, thank you for your word this morning, for the reminders. For Paul, these disciples, the church, Apollos, but most of all, for the one that made it all possible. The head, our Savior. Jesus Christ, Father, your Son, thank you so much for sending him for us, for sending your Son on our behalf. God, that he took our sin on his body and died in our place, oh God, Even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Thank you so much that he defeated death and rose again. And Father, that when we believe this, when we believe in your Son as our Lord and Savior, confess our sin and put our trust only in him, the Bible says we are forgiven and saved. But whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Thank you so much for saving us, for providing forgiveness and salvation. Father, help us not to be neutral, to be complacent, to stall out in our walk, God, that we would, like Paul and the early church fathers and many others, God, that we would just maintain that pace as best we can. Help us, Lord, not to be weary in well-doing. Father, give us those times of respite and rest when we need it, even as Paul needed it. But also, God, don't allow us to become, Lord, so comfortable in resting that that's all we do. We want to go. We want to grow. We want to serve you. We want to increase in the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and fellowship in his sufferings. God, help us to grow, not to become complacent. Give us a hunger for serving you, for obeying you, for loving you, oh God, we pray. Lord, we have much to be thankful for today. A baptism this afternoon is one of them. God, we ask for your blessing as we meet together in a few hours. Be with this family, Lord, as they prepare. And God, bless them immensely as they have taken the step to follow you. God, help us to be wonderful examples, Lord, and an encouragement to them as they've been to us. And we just thank you, God, for your love for us, for all that you're doing in our midst. And again, we just exalt Christ, Father. Thank you so much for him. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to go ahead.